Welcome to Share Truth Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Sarton.
Every week.
Without fail, you're there.
Unfortunately, is that what you're going to say? No.
Sometimes I come in like, maybe she won't be here this... Nah, she's here.
Who are you going to get to run the board?
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't do this by myself.
There's not a whole radio department down the hall that can help you.
I couldn't stick my head out the door and say, hey, I need some help.
Anybody, because everyone down that way, if you go around this corner and down this one hall,
but look,
this hall, there's everybody down these halls can run an audio board.
You do a lot more than just press some buttons, though. Right.
You also push up the little sound.
You also do the knobs and the
do that.
No, but you bring some thoughts and some comments to the discussion that are really, really great. And you help keep the conversation going. And look, I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Because I don't want to just sit here and talk.
Oh, that's great. I'd love to just sit here and talk.
All right. So. Well, maybe next episode is you just by yourself then.
Monologuing.
Right. But we are here. By the way, if you don't know what Share Truth Apply Scripture is, we are a program where we try to tackle issues that are of concern to younger Christians. That's generally what we try to do, but occasionally we step out of that a little bit to highlight some things that are going on here at AFA. Yeah. Such as the Ten Commandments speech challenge. And we're going to talk about that with Pastor Joseph Parker, who's in studio with us again for a second time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Honored to be here once again.
Absolutely.
So if you want to know more about Pastor Joseph and what he is doing, you can go to AFR.net to check out his own podcast. That's right.
Yeah.
It's called The Hour of Intercession. So if you go to AFR.net, you can listen to that and check out what he's doing. And if you want to know another thing he's worked on, he actually has a book titled The Intercession Chronicles that we talked about last week. So if you missed last week, I encourage you to go to AFR.net and check out our podcast.
Absolutely.
You do that first. We'll write down your homework assignment. You listen to that first, then you go to AFA.net.
Right.
Check out our resource center, which has tons of stuff, but don't get distracted. You got to check out this book first, and then you can start shopping the coffee and the other books and the DVDs and all kinds of stuff.
They're just going to the resource center like, oh my goodness, so many good things. What do I do first?
There's a ton of stuff there, but yeah, you check out his book, and if you just want to know more about that, you can go to AFR.net, listen to last week's podcast, and where we kind of laid all that out.
Yeah. So radio host, teacher, book writer, which the book is part one of a series. That's something we also talked about, a planned series rather. But you're also doing this Ten Commandments speech challenge. Tell us a little bit about what exactly that is and how this came to be.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for the opportunity to share about it. And would mention, we've been doing the Ten Commandments Project for a number of years now. I've lost count of how many years, but maybe 6, 7 years. I don't know. But it's kind of grown and expanded and becoming bigger and bigger every year, and I think more exciting. But it is a youth discipleship project. But now, in reality, let me be very clear. It's important for us to understand the Ten Commandments are foundational truths for all of Scripture. It's important for believers to not make the big mistake. Sometimes people say, well, such and such a thing is Old Testament. Understand the Ten Commandments are the moral law of God, which never changes.
Right.
And so they're very applicable today. And some of the biggest problems and challenges in our culture today are a result of people violating those basic commandments. We think of the tragedy of abortion, which is another word for first-degree murder. And that, as harsh as that may sound, that's reality behind that, biblically speaking. Taking the life of the innocent, that's murder, and it's specifically first-degree murder. Some of the biggest problems in our culture are a result of sexual sin in some capacity. One, the Ten Commandments tells us you should not commit adultery, and so it addresses, in either direct statement or in principle, all of life. And so the Ten Commandments is a wonderful curriculum for teaching basic truths for all believers everywhere and in every culture. Well, the project has been a fun one in that, like, one aspect very basically of the Ten Commandments project, if a young person memorizes the Ten Commandments, recites them to their dad or mom or to a youth director, we get a phone call from dad or mom or youth director say, Johnny recited the Ten Commandments. This is his size. this is the mailing address, and we'll mail them a T-shirt that has the Ten Commandments on the back, which is a wonderful witnessing tool. But also, more important than them getting a T-shirt, they're getting the Word of God planted in their mind, in their heart. Amen. And I think of this, one of the reasons why such a project is so important for the church to embark upon is because I think of some of the sad news stories in our culture that we see that involve young people. You hear of young people killing other young people regularly in big cities and sometimes small communities. I know of a tragedy. A teenager took something from a store, took off. Attendant stepped out and shot him, and he died. Now, the attendant got arrested. But if a parent or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor had taught that young man the Ten Commandments, he would probably be alive today because it's not just an academic exercise. God's word has power in it, power to save, power to grow, power to transform. And so planting that word in the hearts of children is important. So, but just simply memorizing was one part of the project. But the speech challenge is a whole other part where a young person will, and I should mention that, the time frame for this year's project is it officially starts June 1st, and the deadline is June the 30th, where you're to, a young person will put together a speech based on the Ten Commandments. And, well, specifically, I'm going to give you the theme in just a moment, though, but specifically it's about a speech. They'll put together a speech and record it on video and send it to us. And once they get it to us, then, again, as long as they get it to us by June the 30th, it's within the time frame. The specific topic this year is, why are the Ten Commandments important? Now, in the 3 years prior, we had them doing a speech on one of the Ten Commandments specifically, but this year it was decided to ask them to do one on why the Ten Commandments are important as well. And the speeches, we'd suggest them be for them to be 3 to 5 minutes, but any length is acceptable. And often a young person will just take their cell phone and record themselves doing it and upload it. Go to afr.net/Ten Commandments, and that's where they can upload it, as well as find more information about the project as well.
And you've actually had some of these children on your program, isn't that correct?
Right. One more of the many fun parts of the project is we like to have the kids to come on the program, and some of them actually come in studio, but often they do it by phone. But they come, they will typically share, either they'll reshare their speech or we'll run the recorded version of their speech. Let them talk about maybe things they learned, how they saw themselves grow, but typically have a parent on who also will tell about ways they saw their child grow through the process of being a part of this project. And to be very honest, makes for a very fun program, but also a very encouraging one, encouraging parents to become much more serious about discipling their children.
Yeah. Go to afr.net/podcast, where you can find the Hour of Intercession, and you can check out some of those recordings and really hear from the source, from the children and the parents, how this program, how this challenge makes an impact. And we here at American Family Association, we've all gotten to hear some of these speeches. You've brought them in to do when you do your devotions. Because, and this is something Jordan and I have spoken of, we've talked about it here on the program, and that is how important it is to plant the seeds as early as you can for these kids. Because my mom, I know my mom had me in church every time the doors were open growing up. We were in church. We were in Sunday school. They're ready. It doesn't matter what kind of morning we had. We were there ready at church on Sunday, Wednesday night. We were there. And our church, you know, we had scripture memory and all that. And then as I grew up and I became a little more in my mind, I guess, rebellious against God and wasn't always, you know, wasn't living the life I knew I should.
Yeah.
And those scriptures, man, you can't get them out of your head.
Yeah.
So no matter how far I tried to run, his words were there with me at all times. And and even the little Sunday school songs, like they stick with you.
They will.
I still sing that "This is the day the Lord has made" song. Every time I'm having a bad day, I sing that to myself. And that's scripture, you know, and it really roots into their mind.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and they'll remember it because I still remember. I'm 33, and I still remember a lot of the scriptures that I memorized as a child.
Yeah. There's a verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A lot of people will take that last part and switch it around a little bit, and it will not depart from him. And I've found that to be true, just like you said. All of those Sunday school lessons, the verses set to song especially, they stick with you. And I feel like that's a comment on the power of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's a comment on how important discipleship is, especially this kind of discipleship that comes from the Word of God, parents and teachers applying the Word of God to a young mind. It's very, very powerful. And there have been times in my life, even as a kid, where I would be faced with a moral dilemma of one kind or another, and there would be a verse that would come to mind and convict me. And you know what? It was up to me whether or not I would allow that conviction to shape my actions. But that verse was there at least as a witness against my actions. And so the power of that is, it can't be understated. It is very important for Christian parents, for Christian teachers to take it seriously, to not instruct morality apart from the Word of God to our children and people in our sphere of influence, because I think the Word of God is what brings that supernatural power. A project like this is really, really great. Of course, there's probably going to be kids signing up. They want that T-shirt. You know, they want the prize.
I'll sign up.
Yeah,
for
I know, right?
T-shirt.
I know. I think that is a really great thing to do to include children in there and just say, look, here's and not only to memorize the passage of scripture, but to also dive into it and explore it through the speech. I think that is a really great thing here, that you're inviting the kids to engage with the Word of God, not just sort of passively accepting it, memorizing it, but to really engage with it and to draw out conclusions. I think this is something that doesn't really occur to people, you know, as we're instructing from the Word of God.
Well, you know, Jordan, in relation to what you just mentioned there, something pretty regularly on the broadcast and in other circles, I really like to encourage parents to have each of their young children to read at least three chapters in the Bible every day to their parent. And one of the reasons that's so productive is, number one, when a child is, now of course this is true when a child or an adult is reading the Word of God, they're spending time with Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're spending time in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus is working on him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact is, there's nothing our children need more than the Word of God, whether we comprehend that or not. And the fact is, we live in a world full of all sorts of toxic information that comes from so many different directions, obviously on the internet and cell phones. But God's Word is pure light. There's nothing better for our children than the wonderful Word of God. So starting the habit of having the children to read at least three chapters out loud is so wise. And, you know, for those that think, well, that's so much. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. You can read your average three chapters in about 15 minutes. So it doesn't take that long. But the reality is, again, God's Word ministers to our mind, body, and spirit, and it nourishes our mind, body, and spirit in an eternally fruitful way. Mm-hmm. So spending time in the Word of God, there's nothing our children can do that's more productive than spending time in the Word.
Absolutely. And it is our privilege as their parents to be there with them. And I think as we minister to them and we disciple them through the pages of the scripture, we'll find ourselves also ministered to and discipled by the Holy Spirit in that process.
That's what I was about to say. It's got to benefit you too. If you're the one going through the scripture, you're also spending time in the Word you know, it doesn't end. You don't stop once you become an adult. And you're like, okay, well, I've done enough memorizing. I'm done. No, I'm still as a 33-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Supposed to be spending time in scripture and you know, committing it to heart every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, the Ten Commandments is a very powerful thing. As you said, this is the foundation of morality. You know, this is God's law revealed to man. This is how we should live. And many of the horrible things that we see in the world, many of much of the darkness that we see in the world is a result of humanity stepping away from the Ten Commandments or stepping away from the principles therein. And mm-hmm. it can seem very basic to us. You know, I mean, we've been Christians for how many years and we're still thinking about the Ten Commandments? But to revisit those things.
I think we need to
revisit those things, to go back and to really look at them, not just as a sort of cursory glance. You know, we're just sort of, you know, casually going through the Ten Commandments. Yeah, we get it. You know, we've memorized those before. But to really go into it with your kids in this project especially, and to part by part look at the theme here of this speech topic. Why are the Ten Commandments important? Why is it important that we know that we should not use God's name in vain? You know, go commandment by commandment and see if there's something there that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that maybe you haven't seen before. Maybe there's a perspective that you haven't seen before. And I think that there are things to be learned from a fresh glance at the Ten Commandments.
And, you know, along that line too, Jordan, it's good for us to understand this truth too, is that we always need to be continually consuming the Word, but allowing the Holy Spirit to minister its truth to us. Because you take the first commandment, you shall know the gods before me. Mm. We need to hear that over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because every day of our lives, typically outside of God's grace, we're going to violate it.
Yes.
And I might say, well, I already know that. Well, how many times can we say that? Mm. Yeah. But we still violate it. So the fact is, we live in a culture where most people don't go to church, you know, and then believers that go to church, they may go, you know, Easter, Christmas, and Mother's Day, you know, but the reality is, there's so many ways in which when we put God first, just like, for example, when you get up in the morning, open the Word of God and spend time with God, and sometimes a person will say, well, I got on Facebook, and I turned on the news, and I didn't have time.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get. See, whatever you put first, you'll have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever's down the line, you may or may not get to it. But when God is first, you're always going to have time for what's first.
Mm. Yeah. And that would be convicting for a lot of us to hear, too, because we can look over our day and think, man, I really spend a lot of time on this thing that, in the grand scheme of things, really isn't very important. How much time are we actually allowing in our daily life for the Word of God to dwell richly within us? And to your point too about the Ten Commandment or the first commandment here, you shall have no other gods before me. I can't remember what writer it was, but it was an old writer back in the old days who said that the heart of man is an idol factory. We are constantly making idols out of one thing or another. There's just the world gives us no end of material to worship that is not God. And so even just that basic thing, yes, we know we shouldn't worship anything other than God, but does that really demonstrate it in the way we live? And so especially when we're living our faith out in front of our children, which, I mean, this is a discipleship project. Are we discipling our children not just by, you know, let's sit down and look at the Ten Commandments, let's read them together, and I want to teach you the Ten Commandments, but are you living that out in your own life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a project like this ministers just as much to the parent as it does to the student here. And as a reminder, hey, this is the way the Lord would have us live. Are you trying to model this in your life? And are you relying on the grace of God in those times where you do fail?
Yeah, and I would encourage the parents or the guardian, whoever is helping these kids with their speech, to get really involved. Now, I don't write the speech for them. That's something I think, you know. But
well, I probably should mention, it's okay if the child thinks they can't.
Uh-huh.
And then, let me tell you why it's important. Like, even if somebody writes, because sometimes we have kids that somebody else writes it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The reason that still can be productive is because those truths still filter through the heart of the mind and the voice of that child when they're sharing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's some kids who, if they had to write their own speech, they would not do this.
Yeah.
So in some cases, if they want help, we don't mind giving them help or encouraging them to get help.
I would encourage you to still have them involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Involved in the process.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Even if they need help, walk with them as they do this and hold the camera when they record their speech or, you know, whatever. Become a part of it. And this is not just for, like, parents and guardians. You know, this is for a Sunday school class. That's a good Sunday school project. And I know not every school will allow this, but there are some Christian schools especially that would participate, because we've had them participate in our Orange Letter campaign that we do each
year.
So, I mean, this is something, maybe go ahead and get out the form, send it to the parents for the permission, and this is a good project to have your kids do.
Absolutely. And just as a recap of what the project is, the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge is a for children and youth ages 7 through 17. They're invited to write and present a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, why are the Ten Commandments important? Participants may receive assistance from a parent or sibling to write, record, and submit the speech. The deadline to submit your speech is June 30th, 2024.
Yes.
So you got a bit over a month at this point.
And remember, afr.net/Ten Commandments is where you need to go. Everything is there. So if you're having, if you need to remember the rules and what to do, you can go back there and check that out.
Yeah. And all participants will receive a Ten Commandments t-shirt, bookmark, and a coupon code to use at the AFA Resource Center, which is great, honestly.
And then you can go back and get the Intercession Chronicles with
there
the
you go.
Code.
Yeah. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. But there's, I mean, there's a lot of other things there at our Resource Center that are useful tools, helpful, and I mean, so there's, you know, books and DVDs and just all kinds of tools there. So that coupon code will be very helpful.
Exactly, yeah. So again, all the more reason to really get on with this Ten Commandments speech challenge. Speaking of the book, let's touch back on that a little bit. You wrote a book, it's called The Intercession Chronicles. We talked about it in the last episode, but I want to give you an opportunity again, just in case people missed that, to just recap a little bit about what that book is about and why it's important for why it's not just a book to minister to the reader, but also it's an opportunity to pass it on and minister to other people as well.
Very much so. And I would say, too, that praying the Ten Commandments is something that we encourage. And, of course, the Ten Commandments prayer is at the back of the Intercession Chronicles.
There you go.
But, yeah, the book is meant to be entertaining. And it's a fun book with some pretty powerful adventures. But at the same time, it's a tool to help set a believer's prayer life on fire. Mm-hmm. We all need help and encouragement in our prayer life. And it does have a prayer guide at the back. But one of the goals is that it be a kingdom tool to strengthen somebody in their own walk, or a gift they can give, or read with their child, or just give a gift to someone else who maybe wanted to grow in their faith, or someone that's not saved. Because, again, the stories are engaging to where a person saved or unsaved can easily be engaged. And also, a person's curiosity can be stirred about the whole reality of angels, because sometimes people might think, oh, angels are make-believe. Angels are just as real as people. We just may not see them, but there are lots and lots of angels all over the place doing the work of the Lord all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great book. I encourage you to go look at it. Go to afa.net/resources. Is that the right?
Resources.afa.net.
There we go. Yeah, so I encourage you to go look at that again. This is just one of the many things that Joseph Parker here does at AFA, and he's a very busy guy, but all of these things, all these projects are really, really great. So you can go check that out at the Resource Center as well.
One thing, since we've talked very heavily about prayer in the last episode and this one, how can our audience be praying for you for the Ten Commandments Project and other things?
Well, I would encourage every believer, make it your goal, pray the prayer of Jabez over yourself every day, because it's a way whereby the Lord can help us become more productive than we were yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a prayer that he literally answers every day. But I would appreciate people praying that prayer for me and for the Intercession Chronicles the Hour of Intercession, which is the broadcast, as well as the book.
Yeah.
Because Obviously, I'm believing the Lord for the book to become a bestseller.
Yeah.
To bless a lot of people and do a lot of kingdom building.
Absolutely.
So prayer for the book and the ministry of the book and the broadcast would be appreciated. So.
Absolutely. Well, that is something that we do encourage you all to do, is to take a moment and pray for all of those projects, but as well as just AFA in general. Where I was thinking about both last episode and this episode, one of the things that is very important here at AFA, we have a big wall. You know, I pass by it every day on the way to my office, and it states our mission statement. It states our whole group of values. One of the values that are up there is discipleship or family, and that's really at the core of one of what's important for AFA is the family, especially the family here in America, and the sacredness of that, and the Christian duty to support the family and to defend the family from Satan's attacks, which are constant. And something like this, the Ten Commandments Project, fits right into that. And it's a way that AFA is encouraging parents to really be active and take an active role in planting the seeds of God's Word in children's hearts. No matter if you have an eager 5-year-old or a less than eager 15-year-old, it's a great way to encourage your kids to really dig into the Word and engage with it in a meaningful way. But even if, you know, your teenagers dragging their feet and they're like, okay, I'll do it, you know, read the Ten Commandments, you know, write a few sentences down, some thoughts on it. At least that is getting them engaged with the Word of God. And as we've said before on this program, that the power of the Bible, the power of the Word of God is really really powerful and does not come back void. I mean, that's what the Bible itself says. And so it is not a waste of time at all. So I encourage you again to check out afr.net/Ten Commandments for more details.
And find more ways to slip scripture memory
absolutely
into your daily life with your children and for yourself. Mm-hmm. So after you're done with your Ten Commandments mm-hmm. project and your speech, maybe you can move on to the next passage of scripture you want your kids to memorize.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Joseph, for being on with us again.
Honor to always be with you.
Absolutely. And guys, until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.